It's, I guess, body part day here on Murder in the Morning. This is a follow-up, actually, to a story we did on Friday about Harvard Medical School and the issues they have been having with some of the staff and human remains that hasn't been all that on the up and up. Now, somebody who knows that they had a loved one donated over there, well, they want to get some of their bodies back.
Oh my, that's not good.
And you know, and for good reason. I think I'd be requesting the same thing too if Grandma or Grampy was over at the Harvard Medical School, knowing what we know right now. And a chilling expose that defies all bounds of human dignity. Reports emerged, and we talked about this the other day, about the alleged illicit sale of human remains trafficked from the hallowed quarters of Harvard Medical School. A sensational case has managed to connect the seemingly desperate lives of a dedicated law enforcement officer turned farmer for New Hampshire and a former morgue manager from one of the world's most esteemed institutions. Nicholas Pichowitz, who left traditional education in his early teens to labor on his family's farm, developed an insatiable curiosity for knowledge that remained undiminished throughout his life. His passion led him to various pursuits, such as earning a pilot's license and acquiring a Stinson airplane that could accommodate four passengers. After a distinguished career as a deputy sheriff in Rockingham County, New Hampshire, Pichowitz's final wish before his demise in 2019 was to donate his body to Harvard Medical School, a beacon of scientific research and education that he held in high esteem. You know, very nice man, very giving, very much thinking of the future, not himself. According to Pichowitz's daughter, Darlene Lynch, the donation was in line with the altruistic intentions of her parents, who desire to contribute to the betterment of human health, even in death. However, well, the family's noble intentions were cruelly exploited, plunging them into an unimaginable nightmare. And this is where it ties into our story from Friday. In a dramatic turn of events, Pichowitz's name now featured on a list captured or curated by the United States Attorney's Office for the Middle District of Pennsylvania, signifying the victims of a grotesque organ and cadaver selling racket spanning multiple states. The alleged mastermind behind the scheme is Cedric Lodge, 55, the former morgue manager at Harvard Medical School's Anatomical Gifts Program. Lodge is accused of clandestinely dealing in human remains from 2018 to March of this year. The indictment claims that Lodge allowed potential buyers to pursue through the body parts intended for cremation and even shipped these stolen remains across state lines. One particularly macabre detail alleges Lodge would source human skin requested for its potential to be tanned into leather. Again, we talked about this the other day. Who's tanning human skin into leather, and where the fuck is that going?
Well, yeah. Like, is it going to turn into a chair and, you know, you're sitting on Uncle Larry? I mean, that's, I don't even want, what are you using it for? Is it a coin purse? What is it?
I don't even want to know, I think.
You know,
yeah. Lodge's wife, Denise Lodge, 63, allegedly aided her husband's appalling venture, coordinating sales via phone and social media. The indictment highlights a total of 39 transactions, all executed through PayPal. Is that part of the PayPal guarantee, you think? If you go to the kid, like, I ordered a scrotum. I didn't order a pinky, and you get the wrong thing. Is that covered underneath that?
That'd be I guess if you end up with the wrong thing, it doesn't matter what it is. It gets returned and refunded, I would think. I don't know.
He, along with Joshua Taylor, 46, for human remains sourced from Harvard, with payments ranging from $200 to $1,000 for different parts, depending on what you want. Taylor and Lodges, Katrina McLean, 44, and Matthew Lampy, 52, have all been charged with conspiracy to interstate transport of stolen goods, potentially facing up to 15 years of imprisonment. In a separate but related case, Jeremy Pauley, 41, of Candace Chapin Scott, faced charges involving the sale of corpses of two stillborn babies. This is going from, like, this is interstate travel. I would think the FBI is involved now. The United States Attorney General Jared M. Karam described the case as One that defies understanding and strikes at the very essence of what makes us human. The victims, he pointed out, willingly offered their remains for medical research and education, making the crime particularly egregious. The revelation has shaken the Pitchewitz family, leaving them filled with a mixture of disbelief, anger, profound sadness. Yeah. The family, grappling with the betrayal by the individuals and the institution they trusted, find it hard to reconcile with the breach of their parents' final wishes. Nick and Joan Pitchewitz, both former law enforcement officers, married for 66 years, shared a deep-seated belief in service to the community, be it through their professional lives or personal action. Joan, particularly remembered for her compassion towards her community and stray animals, also donated her body to the Harvard Medical School following her death in 2023. Since the shocking revelations, the family has sought the return of Joan's remains, a request that has yet to be fulfilled. The painful ordeal has eroded the family's trust in the institution they once respected, prompting them to question the apparent lack of security and oversight at Harvard. Yeah, you fucking think?
Yeah, right.
News of the gruesome investigation was brought to the Pitchewitz family attention via a local news report. Adding to their distress, Lynch vividly remembers the gut-wrenching realization and sickening and unimaginable moment that they found out. Amidst the shock and betrayal, the family grieves undoubtedly for the death of their parents, the violation of their final wishes. "We want to get his parts back, whatever that means," said a tearful Lynch, doubt echoing in her voice about the identity of the ashes they currently possess. And the ashes, we have them. Are they him? Judging by the track record thus far, I'd say probably not.
Yeah, and how would you even know?
I'm going to guess grandma's been sold and, oh, let's go grab some ashes and say it's grandma and let's hide some shit really, really quick. Of all places, if this is happening at the highest levels of education and institutions in our country, what the fuck is going on at the ones that aren't at the higher levels?
And that's the exact concern. Before I started working with you, I was working in the euthanasia field for the veterinary field, and I got to tour a crematorium where mm-hmm. they only do animals, and there is a process. I was so impressed with how they keep track of every pet. There's a barcode, so every time the pet moves, the barcode is scanned so that you know exactly where your pet is. I mean, you as a consumer can't track it, but the company itself knows exactly where the pet is. And it sounds like on the human level, there's not this kind of accountability going on. So I know for a fact, at least the crematorium that the company I worked for, that they dealt with this company, they were very on top of things. They knew where each pet was at every stage, and they weren't lost. They were treated with dignity and respect. And I'm just not hearing the same kind of accountability with the human world right now with what we've talked about.
What would they do to return these body, like the parts at this point? I mean, even if they had them, like they just show up on the doorstep with a fucking Coleman cooler. Like, hey, here's Beatrice. I mean,
I would hope that they would send it to the funeral home of their choosing. I mean, they should be taking care of this themselves. If somebody wants the body parts back, it is their responsibility to take care of the cremation. Whether that's their rule or not, they have absolutely violated people's trust at this point.
This is going to be interesting to watch and just to see what happens and who's held accountable here in this. Obviously, some very horrible people doing this. But again, like I said the other day, if this is happening in your institution and it's happening on your watch, there's needs, and I pardon the pun, some heads need to roll here.
Oh, God, Tony.
Not literally. I'm not saying like go cut people's heads off and roll them around like
we're bowling
or put them on someone's desk like the previous story. Right. It's a figure of speech. I'm not calling for the murder of anyone before anybody freaks out. But right. But no, there certainly does need to be accountability and higher up for not having, more accountability in these systems. I mean, considering this has been going on for 20 some years, it's just, I mean, this guy who was in it took up the reins in 2018. Sounded like it was kind of going on before that, though, too. So how many people
and, you know, he probably just took over and this is what they've always done. So they just continued to do it that way.
It's like the perks of the job that you don't realize exist until you're in it. I remember like getting excited about working in radio, not just because you're on the air, but because, oh, wow, record reps come sometimes and they take you to fancy restaurants and you can buy anything you want. Like, that's great. You know, and all these like little things that, you know, like, oh, these are kind of wrong and you shouldn't be accepting these gifts. But at the time, it's like just how the industry worked. I don't think that the industry's ever worked like this, or maybe it has, of these, you know, side hustle gigs of, you know, selling Aunt Nancy's, you know, left arm on the side to be made into a coin purse. That it's beyond fathomable that anyone is dealing in this sort of thing and profiting. And it almost, is it worse than murder? I mean, this just, you're running a business of this. A lot of times murder is somewhat premeditated. It's a passion. It's a, I mean, if you're talking about your average murder, not the serial killer type, you know, comes and goes. This is like you're thinking about this for years and you just keep doing it over and over and over and over. And the level of depravity that this is just,
I guess, well, it's the ultimate betrayal. These people have decided that they want to help advance medical science and they donate their body to be cut up and used in any way medicine sees fit. To train doctors and things like that. So it's a huge betrayal of trust. It's just, you know, people are probably going to be hearing this story and go, well, fuck it, I'm not donating my body. But at this, the other thing is they're dead. What difference does it make? I mean, so I'm wavering, I'm fluctuating between the two. One is it's horrific. And the other is, well, they don't know what's going on. They're dead.
They don't. It's just the principle of it all. They need bodies for medical research. I'm concerned that I don't know. It seems weird that we have two of these stories back to back that are different locations, all at the same time. Like, is there like some sort of reckoning happening in this industry right now where everybody's whistleblowing because they saw, well, that place whistleblowed. Maybe we should whistleblow too. And I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole influx of this stuff with these businesses and people coming out and saying, yeah, guess what's been happening?
Well, look at the Me Too movement. You know, all it took was a couple of people to speak up and go, this shit's been happening for far too long. And others go, fuck it, I'm telling my story too. You know, maybe that's what's going on.
Stacy, look at this coin purse I just found online.
No!
This, oh my goodness. You just wait. Christmas is coming soon.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.